Colossians chapter 3, reading from the verse 18 down to chapter 4, verse 1. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men-pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 18, the Apostle Paul now begins to address six specific groups of people. This address continues into chapter 4, verse 1. The six groups are wives, husbands, children, fathers, servants, and masters. In chapter 4, verse 1, we have a good example of a poor chapter division. The chapter divisions are not inspired and are not part of the original text. We need them, of course, and we're thankful for chapter and verse divisions in our large Bible. But we have to be careful that we find the right and logical division of the text and not necessarily be tied to the chapter divisions in our version. Chapter 3 really ends with chapter 4, verse 1, and should therefore be chapter 3, verse 26. These groups, though six in number, are not independent and entirely separate. There is a union among them. They are all connected and interrelated. It is not just that they're all Christians. We assume that they all are saints. They are all in the church. They have all been baptized. They're all being addressed. But it's not just that they are saints. These groups make up what is known in biblical times as the house, what we would call today the home. Paul, in addressing these groups, is addressing the home. The home is a basic unit of society. It is also the basic unit of the church. The home is very important, both in church and society. The church does not break up the home. It recognizes the importance of the home. It recognizes the home as God ordained. Paul is addressing the home in our text that is before us today. He is addressing the home at its most extensive in biblical times. Not all homes had children. In some houses, there were only husbands and wives. Some houses had fathers, but the children are grown and have become husbands and wives themselves. And there's only the husband and wife left now. Some homes had servants in biblical times, and others, probably most, had not. But Paul, in addressing the house, does not want to leave anyone out in regard to their respective duties. And so he addresses everyone who could possibly and conceivably make up part of the home. And thus we have these six groups. And Paul is reminding them all of their duties. You can see then what a man's doing should first relate to. You remember that text that we looked at in verse 17, whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. So Paul has been addressing the saints about Christian doing, about words and works that glorify God. This doing in the name of the Lord Jesus. Well, where does it begin? Where is a believer to start to do? And the answer is, it starts in the home. It must be right in the home. Before you can think about words and works and doings anywhere else, a Christian has to be right at home. He has to begin at home, in his house. A man must be first right in his house. A woman must be first right in her house. A child must be first right in his or her home. And similarly, the servants. Christians in the church to bring glory to God must be Christians who are obeying God in their house, whose words and works, consistent with godliness and holiness, being wrought in the house, first and foremost, in obedience to God. They say charity begins at home. Well, the Bible teaches that religion begins there also. Christianity commences after it has entered into a man's heart. It commences its manifestation in his house. You remember Legion. What a wonderful conversion he had by the mighty power of the Lord Jesus. What a great change. He wanted to go on the mission field with the Savior. Whenever the Lord Jesus entered into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil, Legion, the Bible says, he prayed him that he might be with him. He wanted to go with Christ. He wanted to get into the boat. He wanted to go into the service with the Master. But the Bible tells us that Jesus suffered him not, but he said unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. The legion was to go home. He was to go to the house of his friends. This was his home. He had no friends except family. Family love you through thick and thin, no matter what. Now, this was a man who was detested because of his deeds and his wickedness and his bondage to the devil. But he could go back home again to the family who are his friends. And so he was to go to them home. He was to begin there. His words and deeds now being done to the glory of the Lord Jesus and in his name, they were to start there. The order of these six groups is wives first, then their husbands, then their children, then the fathers of the children, then the servants, the household slaves, which was common in those times in some homes, but they were loved and treated as family members, and then the masters. You will see that some men would fit all three groups among six here. A man who is a husband, he might be a father, he might be a master. And so he would have three addresses as a member of his house, in his capacity as a husband, in his capacity as a father, and in his capacity as a master of the house. Now the order here is we might think unusual. It may even surprise us, especially that wives are first addressed, and children are addressed before fathers, and servants are addressed before masters. It makes us think, why does Paul address them in this order? There are two other places in Scripture where we have this home or this house address, this code for Christian families. The two other places in the New Testament that deal with this, addresses to members of the family. Paul did something similar in writing to the Ephesians. It might be worth turning there now. The address there begins in chapter 5 of that epistle and the verse 22. You will see that it runs into chapter 6, down to verse 9. Again, we see the chapter division is not perfect, because there certainly is a unity here in the text. The house is being addressed in its different aspects and its different divisions. You will see that Paul is far longer in Ephesians when addressing the home. He gives quite a chunk of his epistle to this matter. And he says a lot more there. He certainly brings in the name of the Lord Jesus in a very extensive way, talking about the Savior and his grace and his love for the church. He is expounding on that and bringing in the name of the Lord Jesus in the house in a far more deeply theological way in Ephesians. And you can study that portion yourself as a parallel passage to Colossians. We won't do that now. But you will observe that Paul addresses the same six groups. Verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And then in verse 25, husbands are addressed. Husbands, love your wives. And then again, he brings in the name of Christ, even as Christ also loved the church. He gives the example of Christ and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. So you see how the apostle is bringing in the theology of the love and the grace of Jesus Christ for his church. And then in chapter 6, the children are addressed. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother. And he even quotes one of the commandments there concerning that. And in verse 4, the fathers are addressed. Ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And then in verse 5, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart as unto Christ. And then in verse 9, the masters themselves are addressed. Ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing threatening. And so you can see he addresses the same six groups. And it is also to be noted that he does it in the same order as to Colossae, beginning with the wives, ending with the masters, and in between the same order for the rest, the husbands, the children, the fathers, and the servants. This is interesting. It is something for you to think about. Ladies are first. The Lord puts a high honor on the woman of the house. Wives are first addressed. This is not because she is the head in any way. That is clear. That is acknowledged. But yet she is addressed first. Not head, but highly honored. Vitally important. Vital in a home. A wife and a mother is vital in the house. And in the church, the wife and mother is highly honored. Women are not second class or second rate, but in their biblical role and function, in their calling in the house, they are highly honored and they're given a very special place. And I think that's brought out in the fact that the apostle addresses them first. He eyes them first. As he perhaps is visualizing the congregation, visualizing the families, as he would preach in the congregations week by week, visualizing them in this epistle, and the wives get his glance first. Now, Paul in this clearly has the mind of Christ and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Now, in one other place in the New Testament, this law of the home can be found. This kind of code for the Christian family. And that is in Peter's first epistle. Peter does it differently. But you can see from Peter's epistle that it is a common thing in the church. The family is present in the congregation. The family is recognized. The family is addressed. The united family is treated as a unity. All are in the body together. All are in the congregation together. And all can be addressed together. The home's addressed. And then the individuals in the house are addressed. This is the New Testament way. This is obviously what is happening in the epistles. This is something that goes on in the church, in the preaching week by week and month by month in the church. The house is addressed. The individuals in the home are addressed. Families were present in the church. They were together in the church. They come as a unit, highly regarded, treated with respect, ministered and preached on to by the word. Now, in Peter's first epistle, the address begins in chapter 2, verse 18. And it runs down to chapter 3, verse 7. Now, again, you'll see that the man who divided the Bible into chapters and verses, which was done many centuries ago, whatever he was thinking, he certainly didn't seem to picture these addresses to these individual groups. He didn't see the unity of this address, that the house was addressed, the home. And so he begins to divide a chapter 3 and divides this house code up again into two chapters. As you look at Peter's address to the house, chapter 2, verse 8 of his first epistle, "Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward." And that address to servants continues down to the end of the chapter. And then in chapter 3, verse 1, "Likewise ye wives." And then in chapter 3, verse 7, "Ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge." Now you'll see here that Peter only addresses three groups: servants, wives, husbands. And he starts with the servants. Now he has a very good reason for that. Because he is thinking of the great servant for us, Jesus Christ. Peter starts there, therefore. The whole thinking and context of Peter's epistle is very different from Paul's. But he's still thinking home. He's still thinking family and household. And in his edifying epistle, in wishing to bring in the home and have a word for all the members of the household, he fits it in according to his theological leanings and the whole context of his teaching in that epistle. And so he's coming at it from a different angle. But he's still thinking house, home, family. The people in the house need edified. Wives need a word. Husbands need a word. A word that is in accordance with the Christian theology, the Christian teaching. And he also addresses wives before husbands. Though, as I say, he starts with the servants because of this great thought about Christ, the great servant in the book of Isaiah, manifesting his glory in his words and works as our Savior, the servant of Jehovah. And he goes on to address servants. If we go back to Colossians chapter 3, as we look at chapter 3, verse 18, to chapter 4, verse 1, we observe a number of things. Just generally speaking now, before we go into each verse in a little more detail, not only the number of groups, the six, the recognized makeup of the house in biblical times, not only the order, which Paul follows, but you will notice that the servants are particularly given a large chunk of text. They get a large word. If you have the text before you, you will see that wives, husbands, children, fathers, masters, they get a verse each. Just one verse. But servants, they get four verses. The servants get special attention. The lowest and the lowly in the church. The servants, they get more words from the Lord. If we just take the context of this epistle. In God's church, the lowest are not despised. Now, it may be that some think that, well, servants, they tend to be maybe rebellious, they tend to be difficult. Maybe in Colossae, servants particularly needed a word. Slaves, you'll remember Onesimus, the runaway slave. And so Paul may be thinking that servants and slaves, they need a special exhortation. And so there may be something of that here. And so they get a large word from the apostle. But it goes to show that the love of God is to them great. That these servants are not abused and not mistreated, but they are loved and honored, and the desire is for them to be in the will of the Lord Jesus. And so there is a special word for them. They seem to get the more tender care. They get the larger loving exhortation. There is more carefulness of the Apostle Paul to guide them aright. This is tender care. And this is just something that happens in the Church of Jesus Christ, that the lowliest and those who are the most despised amongst the worldlings, that in the church they receive love and honor and are treated like all the other members, the same. You see, in society in ancient times, the servant is abused, mistreated, left outside the organization, left outside the institution, and not generally honored with membership of it and being able to come into that institution. No, they don't enjoy the privileges in ancient society. But it is not so in the Church of Jesus Christ.
There they are. They're present. They're treated as members. There's a word for them just as there's a word for the wives and the fathers and the children. They're loved. Paul shows this in this text. And Peter's the same. He gives them special attention, as we saw, because he actually addresses them first. And he addresses them quite largely, just as Paul does, even with even more words than Paul does. He has a wonderful word for the servants in his epistle, Peter. He brings Christ, the great servant of Jehovah, he brings Christ to them first. It's all very wonderful how Peter treats them, how he eyes them, how he wants to present Christ to them, how he wants to want to win them to that master and to that example and to live like Christ. What a wonderful place the church is. What a fine body is a Christian congregation that all within join to Christ, equally loved, equally honored, and equally enjoying all the privileges and benefits of redemption. In that regard, the servants are the same as the masters and the wives and the husbands and the children. They're all loved, they're all honored. They all have the privilege of the membership of the body. They all have the privileges and the enjoyment of the redemptive work of Jesus Christ the same. The church is a wonderful place. And he is a wonderful Savior who makes us all one in himself. To love each other. Not to look down upon any brother or any sister. Or not to despise anyone among us. But to love all freely and the same. Not even the lowest, not even the servants are to be despised. And we certainly see that here in this address of Paul's and also of Peter's. And so, brethren and sisters, what I'm saying is the church is a wonderful place. It ought to be. Every member of the body ought to feel at home. Ought to feel equally loved and valued. Ought to feel that even though he or she may feel the chief of sinners, that they're not despised by their brethren and sisters, and that they're loved by the Lord just as much as they are, and that the Lord has a word for them just as much as he has a word for any other in the congregation, whether it be a prince or a noble. The Lord speaks to the lowly as well as to the princely and noble. The Bible's always telling us this. Church is always being reminded of this. This address is proof of that. In this epistle earlier on in the chapter, verse 11, chapter 3, Colossians, verse 11, Paul wrote, "Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all." All these various differences and distinctions, but Christ is the head. Christ is everything. Christ brings us all in. Christ is the one who unites his body. All the members are one. Remember in the epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 12, the first epistle, verse 13, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one spirit. So you see, the Christian here, whether he's a slave, a servant, or a master, or whether he is of a Jewish background or a Gentile background, whether male or female, it doesn't matter. We've all received the same baptism. We've all been washed by the same water. We all believe in the same Savior. We all are members of the same body. We've all been made to drink the blessings of God in that one spirit. It's wonderful. Even the lowliest amongst the members has all the same privileges and blessings. Galatians chapter 3, verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 21. Art thou called being a servant? Here's a servant. He was called to Christ when he was a slave. He maybe thinks, oh, I'll be despised. I'm nothing because of my lowly position. I have a lowly job, a lowly task. I have not the freedom of others. Have you been called being a servant? Care not for it. Don't be distressed. Don't be depressed. But if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's freeman. Likewise also he that is called, being free, is Christ's servant. And so, being converted, becoming a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, transforms things. It changes things around. It changes things about. The free man becomes the servant, and the servant becomes the free man in Christ. In regard to the relationship to Christ, regard to the benefits of redemption, regard to these eternal things. So don't get distressed because, well, I have a lowly job, I have a poor job, I have a very lowly station in life. Don't be caring for it. Don't get depressed about it. Don't think you're loved any the less in the body of Jesus Christ because of it. So let us not look down, brethren and sisters, on any member. Let us not despise any for their calling and their position in life. And let us not have, as it were, a disregard and a disrespect for anyone because of their position. And that includes children. The children might be despised and might be considered unimportant, and this can happen in society and does happen in society, but it shouldn't happen in the church. Love all, honor all, pray for all, help all. Now, in each of these six groupings, there is a command, a duty, something to do. The imperatives are to be noted. What they are to do in the home, in word or deed, as the apostle has said, and in the name of the Lord Jesus. And so we have these imperatives. Wives, verse 18, submit yourselves. Husbands, love your wives. See, love here is a command. It's not a feeling. It's not romance, necessarily. It's nothing sentimental. It's just obeying God and doing loving kindness to your wife. Children, obey your parents.
in all things. And then fathers, Paul looks at the fathers in the eyes now and he says, perhaps thinking that this is sometimes going on amongst the members who are fathers, provoke not your children to anger. And then the servants, they get a large word, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. And then the masters, they're not left out without a word. They're not beyond having a need to hear from God. They may be high up in society. They may be well off. They may think that they don't need addressed because those who are high up and become masters and tend to be tempted to pride and arrogancy and perhaps don't like to be told. But the masters are told by God. And no matter how high up we get in the positions in life, we're not beyond needing a word from God. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal. So are all these imperatives, these commands, not only are there the commandments for the Christian home, there is the backing of these commands up, the providing of arguments or appeals to reinforce the duties. And so wives submit as it is fit in the Lord. This is fitting in the Savior. And children, obey your parents in all things because this is well-pleasing to the Lord. The Lord delights in that. And you want to please the Lord, children, and so obey your parents if you want to please the Lord. And fathers, you shouldn't provoke your children because, you see, they'll be so discouraged. And it's not a good thing to be discouraged. And how would a man want his children to be discouraged? And so don't provoke them to anger. That's the thing that'll do it. And servants, you obey in all things your masters because you are to know that you serve the Lord Christ and that you'll receive a reward from him one day. So there are these incentives, these encouragements to every group. And the masters, they also were encouraged. Do justly and equally with your servants because you have a master in heaven and he's going to judge you one day. And you will want to be treated fairly and graciously and even mercifully. And so treat your servants the same. All wonderful advice and wonderful counsel to back up the divine commandments. It is to be pointed out how often the apostle brings in that name. That name that he had mentioned in verse 17, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. And whenever he goes on to address these groups, he's bringing in this Lord, the same Lord. He's bringing in the name. To wives, submit as it is fit in the Lord. And in verse 20, to the children, this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. And whenever he comes to address the servants, he brings in the Lord's name several times so that they will be doing their doing and their deeds and their works and all their words in the remembrance that they're doing it in the name of the Lord Jesus, the Lord Christ, whom they serve. And even masters, they are reminded of the Lordship of Christ because he is your master. And you have a master in heaven, as Paul puts it. And so the Lord's name is brought in here. And so everybody in the church, as believers, this is what I would want you to know today. Whoever you are, the Lord loves you. The Lord speaks to you. None are left out in God's house. The Lord has a word for everybody. The Lord has a word even for the children. The Lord has a word for the lowest in society. The Lord has a word for the masters and the nobles. The Lord has a word for the women
of the wives.
So there's none left out. Not even the spinster is left out.
Not even the widow is left out. None is desolate in the church,
because Christ is our husband, and Christ is our elder brother.
And there may be someone who lives on their own, and they're not even part of the house, they're just by themselves, and they think that they're desolate. And the Lord doesn't have a word for them. I'm not in the house today, I'm on my own. But you're not. Christ is your husband. Christ is your elder brother. Christ is your master. Christ is your friend. He's a word for you. He leaves no one out. So, members of the congregation, be encouraged today that the Lord Jesus loves you and has a word for you. To him be all praise and glory. Amen.